Today, it's legendary guitarist from the band Styx talking about Tommy Shaw as he talks about the brand new record, The Mission. His favorite concept albums, of course, The Mission is a concept album, 42 minutes worth. He talks about the Damn Yankees, last time he talked to Ted Nugent, as well as the streaming project they're doing next month for people with hearing aids, which is super interesting. Tommy Shaw from Styx is my guest today on Radio Chatter.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 4, 3, 2, 1, and liftoff.
This is Radio Chatter with WRIF's own Meltdown.
Finally, today is the day we get Tommy Shaw on the Radio Chatter podcast. I've been talking about this for the last few episodes, and just spent a busy week with Paul Heyman from the WWE, John Cooper from Skillet, Alice Cooper, Josh Todd from Buck Cherry and his new band. So anyways, thank you guys so much for putting up with all the delays. Hopefully this will be well worth the wait, as I couldn't wait to talk to Tommy Shaw from Styx. I'll tell you what, I got the brand new record, The Mission, and all seriousness, what a great sounding album. It's really good stuff. It's a concept album about a mission to Mars. But right off the very beginning, I wanted to get into this thing that that I've actually talked about in the podcast before, especially with Billy Sheehan a few months ago, because I was at this radio station event, and I got the date right here. It was February 10th, 1992. And it's the reason I know that is because it's all over the internet. You just punch it up. Google Faith No More incident in Buffalo. What happened was, Tommy Shaw and Jack Blades were there, and Billy Sheehan were at this club, and they were doing a radio appreciation concert for the radio station in Buffalo, and the guys from Faith No More showed up. So somebody asked if they'd like to go on stage and, you know, sing a song or jam or whatever, and they did. And so they proceeded to go on stage and sing a song that nobody knew. Then they started insulting the radio station. And then, you know, people kind of got a little antsy, started booing and whatnot. Well, next thing you know, like I said before in my podcast, I'm talking to Billy Sheehan. And I hear somebody walk up and say he's got his pants down. I look up. Mike Patton is on stage with his pants around his knees. He's got this hockey jersey on, which goes to about the top of his thighs. And mid-thigh range, I guess. And Billy Gould, the guitar player, is like rubbing the neck of his guitar up and down on Mike Patton's balls. I'm like, what is going on here? So people start, like, you know, booing and whatnot and the whole thing. So then Mike Patton takes the microphone and shoves it up his ass and starts walking around like a zombie, like in a circle or something, as the band's playing this bizarre song. And then he proceeds to take the microphone out and put it in his mouth. At this point, beer bottles start going up towards the stage, and he gets cut, and he takes the microphone out and throws it in the crowd. And apparently Billy Gould, years later, or maybe right after this happened, said, "We got the hell out of there before the cops came. It was good, except that Mike P was bleeding pretty badly from two bottles that were thrown at him from close range." It says here, still he got his revenge by throwing the mic like a speedball right into one of the guy's faces. I'll never forget that. Yeah, classy move by the guys from Faith No More, no question about it. As far as Mike's concerned, he says, "I loved it and would do it all over again if I could," in a statement to the Buffalo News. I'm not sure, but I think that there was like some sort of warrant for his arrest out for a little while. Some of the patrons that were there said, "I've been to many rock shows but never seen anything as sick and disgusting as this." This other woman said, "That guy's just plain sick. This whole act was a disgrace." Anyway, so that's kind of what happened on February 10th, 1992. And as crazy as it was, it's something I'll never forget, and I had to bring that up with Tommy when he called in today on Radio Chatter.
Hey, it's Tommy Shaw calling.
Hey, Tommy, it's Meltdown. Thanks for connecting with us here today.
You bet, man.
You know, it was funny when I found out I was going to be talking to you. I thought back to a day that that you and I shared, even though you probably don't know this or even might not even remember it. But I was in Buffalo growing up, and I was on the radio out there for a few years. And back in the early '90s, you played an event for the radio station back there, 97 Rock, and the guys from Faith No More showed up. Do you remember that night?
Yes. How can I forget that?
I talked to Billy Sheehan about that because I was actually talking to Billy Sheehan, and somebody walked over and said, "He's got his pants down." And that was the last time I talked to Billy Sheehan that night. And for those and for those that don't know, Mike Patton from Faith No More put a microphone in a not-so-nice place on stage that night.
Yeah, I was glad that I was on the microphone before he did that.
I don't know if you saw this or not, but he actually put the microphone in his mouth, and then he threw it in the crowd, and then they took off out the back. So somebody, somewhere, that microphone is somewhere. Who knows?
It's probably not looking too good. No.
but that's our connection. I just wanted to break the ice with that.
Well, that's pretty unforgettable.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us today. Of course, the tour with REO and Don Felder and stuff, cruising along. Having fun this summer or what?
Man, it's so good. The crowds have been amazing. You know, we're getting to play some new songs from The Mission, and I'm getting to play with Felder on Take It Easy. It's just, you know, we're just having a ball.
Really? So you go on stage and play? That's pretty cool. That's awesome.
Yeah, well, you know, we worked together. We did an installation in Las Vegas earlier in the year, and I got to play. Well, we all got to play as Don's band. He joined our band, and we became his Eagle. So we played a set with Don within our set.
Really? So
So it's fun to get to play those, at least one of those songs again.
Now, I think you've been asked this before, but would you ever think about doing The Mission in its entirety at something like that in a Vegas, like a residency?
Well, maybe even more just something where we go around and play it and make it part of our show. That seems like it might be an easier way to do it, so that it's you still get a stick show and you get the whole album, because the album's only 42 minutes and 8 seconds long, so we could do it. We play these shows where we take an intermission and we just play a longer stick show, and we could do it like that and still play all the stuff that everybody grew up with.
Now, I've been listening to this CD quite a bit, and I was taking my son to school. He had this summer school project he had to do, and I was listening to it in the car with him, and he would get in the car, and I remember one day he got in the car and he put his head against the car door to try to fall asleep, and he right away goes to the CD player and tries to find Radio Silence without looking at it. That's like his song. That's his thing. He's 14 years old. He loves Radio Silence.
That's awesome. I love that.
I can't tell you how many times I've heard Radio Silence in my car the last month.
I'm sorry, man.
Oh, no, it's great. I'll tell you what, I got to be honest. I love this CD. The first time I heard it, I listened to it. Of course, it's got the typical Styx signature sound to it. And then I'm listening to it. The more I listened to it, I thought, maybe this isn't a CD about a mission to Mars. Maybe it's a CD about relationships, because you got Radio Silence. You know, my wife has given me that several times. And then you got a song like The Greater Good. You know, maybe you're sticking together for the kids. And then you got a song like, you know, 10,000 Ways to Be Wrong. And I'm sure this is definitely a story about relationships.
Well, you know, this is like a relationship that's, you know, far, far away. But it really is about the relationship. And that's the thing that made me want to do it. As soon as I wrote that first song, and it was just this kind of a fun rhyming verse. But then it needed a middle section. And when I put that middle section in, the words that came to me were, you know, say goodbye to all your friends. Now your whole new life again. You know, that there's this dichotomy, you know, there's all this excitement and all this, the thrill of the mission. But at the same time, these are all human beings, and they're leaving everyone and everything behind, maybe never returning. So they're, no matter what, they're humans on this mission, and they have long, and you know, they're trying to get a connection so they can get back home, you know, to talk to people. There's real life going on, and that's what it's probably going to be like.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's crazy to think like that, but I guess, you know, in our lifetime, perhaps, I don't know, they send stuff out into space all the time. I guess this is maybe a hack question, but are you a big sci-fi guy?
I've always been a big, you know, space mission guy. I've always loved shows like that. And when I was Will Ivankovich and I first started writing this, the book The Martian had just come out, and that really helped with because there was so much technical information there. I learned a lot about that, and we met with the people who did the Pluto mission, the New Horizons mission. They happened to be where the guy who discovered the fifth moon around Pluto, which ultimately became called named Styx. And so we got to know them, and now we've been meeting with NASA people. We're getting ready to go to Johnson Space Center, and we're going to do a podcast about space travel, and you know, it's really just been, you know, we're like kids in a dream come true.
Yeah, it's kind of taken a life of its own. Now, it's a great city, and I think I read in an interview that you did that, you know, to sit between the speakers and listen, the city sonically is unbelievable.
Well, we went to a lot of trouble to have it be like that. You know, it's a warmer, fatter sound because it's analog. Everything hit tape. We did it on a vintage Neve console. There are no digital plugins. We used a lot of vintage microphones, vintage processors. Any delays that you hear, any echo, was done with a tape machine. We had two tape machines. And some things were the remnants of our writing demos. And so those were done on Pro Tools, but we dumped those over to tape and then back into the mix. So that's one reason why it has that warm top end and it's fatter. But my best friend from Alabama, I had told him, I said, put the headphones on and listen to it. You know, it's really good when you sit between the speakers, but if you put the headphones, you'll really get the benefit of all the dynamics and the great stereo spectrum.
Yeah, it sounds fantastic. As a matter of fact, I put here on my notes right next to it, vinyl worthy. I think I'm going to have to pick this one up on vinyl for sure.
Man, the vinyl has been huge. We already sold out of the first pressing, and they've started it. You know, there was a little bit of a delay while they, you know, did the second pressing. And, yeah, it's definitely a bonanza on vinyl.
Now, what makes the song Trouble at Big Show sound so much different than the rest of the record?
Well, because it's more like a Hendrix style group. It's mostly like a guitar, bass, and drums, and you got James Young with that voice of his. And I had always wanted JY to have a Hendrix style song, and I came up with that little riff in the beginning, and then we wrote the chorus, and James Young came in and we wrote the words. And the rest was history. It just has JY all over it.
And, it sounds to me like the first few times listening to it, I'm like, what does this sound like? And it sounds almost like Zappa-esque.
Really?
That's to me anyways. I don't know. Maybe I'm just...
I could see that with that deep voice in it.
Yeah, because it's got a different kind of a vibe to it. But no, I think the record is great. It took a long time to put this record out. You guys, if I'm not mistaken, have been working on this project for like 3 years?
Yeah, and it wasn't because it wasn't that so difficult. It's because we didn't plan on doing a record. We planned on doing 110, 120 shows a year.
Right.
That was already on the books. So it had to be done during breaks. And that's why it took so long.
What songs are you playing off the new record in your set, can you say?
Well, we start the show with Overture.
Right.
In fact, we've been doing that ever since Overture got written, and we were playing the demo of it for a while, and then once we had the studio version of it, we started doing that. And no one ever asked, what's that new music you're playing? So they've been hearing that for over a year and a half.
Yeah, that's cool, man. That's a great way to start the record. The record, it's got a beginning, a middle, and an end. It's just a great concept record. What are some of your favorite concept records from the past?
Oh, well, I should tell you, we are playing Gone, 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 and we are playing your son's favorite, Radio Silence.
Okay, all right, there you go.
well, you know, to start with, the quintessential, you know, the original concept album was Sgt. Pepper's.
Mm.
And that was one of those that just, if you were a kid back then, you remember it, it kind of stopped you in your tracks. Like, it was just all these questions, like, what is this? You know, they've taken on different personalities, and there's a story behind it, and I'm not quite sure what it is, but I love it.
have you seen what the 50th anniversary, did you watch the making of that on PBS, or did you see any of that stuff?
I didn't see that yet, no.
Because, you know, obviously, you've recorded a bunch of stuff. It's like they had four tracks to use, that's it. And they made that massive record.
And they did a nice job.
Man. And
They did a lot of things where they grouped and they bounced things, and they were just such good recording engineers. And the tape was so good and the recording was so good that it survived all that. And one thing that we did was because we didn't want it to sound modern, we didn't just put layer upon layer of instruments. We kept it to the minimum to have it sound like, well, there's, you know, there's Ricky or there's Chuck and there's Jay Y's guitar, there's my guitar and there's Lawrence's keyboards, there's the drums, and then there's the vocals. And so there's a lot of space. With Pro Tools now, there's literally infinite tracks. You can just keep layering and layering and layering. So we tried to avoid that.
Yeah, there is a real clean simplicity to it. To the album as well, like you're saying, it's like you can hear the acoustic guitar, you can hear different things about it. It's not all cluttered.
Well, and everybody played. They really committed themselves to this. And if you listen to it, like Ricky Phillips is playing bass guitar, he sounds so good. But then you listen, and there's the keyboards, and man, I can hear that at any time. And the solos are right up front. Jim Scott mixed it, and Jim, his theory is everything loud. Louder.
That's funny, because I've always heard if you can hear everything through a little speaker, you'll hear everything through big speakers. You know what I'm saying? You've probably heard that before.
True. We had one of those monster rave boxes in the studio. Have you seen those? It's like a big blaster with a light. It's like a party light on the top of it. And we actually brought that in the studio, so we would listen to it, and we would go, what's this thing going to sound like on somebody's blaster?
Right. Oh, there you go. Name a couple other concept albums that you really like. Queensryche was really good at this back in the day. Obviously Pink Floyd, stuff like that.
Yeah, the Pink Floyd stuff. Because that was around when we did the Grand Illusion and Pieces of Eight albums. And I just loved how things were moving around in stereo. And Queen, I don't know if you would call theirs concept albums. They seemed like concept albums. And you would just get this great sound effect-y thing, but all done with musical instruments. And the Queen stuff, the Dark Side of the Moon. That I listened to that album a million times. I still listen to it.
Yeah.
And little conceptual things, the little in-between things, the soundscapes. They were so cinematic.
Yeah, I got Paradise Theater at home, and I got that the second side. It's got the etching on it and stuff. It's so cool. The album.
Yes, you know why they did that.
Why is that?
Because at some point. People started bootlegging vinyl.
Really?
Which is a lot of trouble to go to bootleg. And they were, this is before digital files and that sort of thing. And they were trying to, just show this is the authentic record.
It's so cool. I don't know if I have anything like that at home besides that record.
I never saw it anywhere else. I'm glad they used us to do it.
Yeah, it's really cool. Hey, switching gears just a little bit here, and we'll cut you loose in a minute here. Damn Yankees, when was the last time you talked to Ted?
It wasn't that long ago, and I heard from Jack about 3 days ago, and we're never too far away.
Yeah, how fun was that project?
It was a blast. Yeah. It was just a thrill a minute, and unpredictable. And it was one of those things where there was never a bad gig ever.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I guess with Nugent, it would be a little unpredictable at times, I guess.
Yes. I tell you, that guy, he was an oak, though. He never had a bad show. Even when we went to Japan one time, and he had the flu really bad. I mean, he was a high fever and just he was soaking wet with sweat from the fever when he walked on stage, and went out there and just threw down, and then at the end of it just collapsed backstage. We had to carry him off.
You must have learned a lot of stuff from a guy like Ted, a guy that carries himself like that, a guy that's been through all those experiences. I mean, you've been through a lot of experiences yourself, but Ted is so out front and out there, you know?
Well, he is, and he's all about, you know, the impression you make when you walk on that stage. He gave Jack and me a hard time about, look at how you guys are walking on stage. Walk out there like you own the place. And we didn't realize. I didn't realize we weren't walking like that. this boldness and confidence.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think Ted Nugent has a lack of confidence.
No.
Hey, real fast, I want to give you a chance to plug your streaming project you got going on next month for people with hearing aids. What's this all about?
Well, we were approached by this company, and I didn't know that technology existed to be able to stream into hearing aids. You know, we have in ears that we use as monitors, but we have a wireless transmitter that goes on our belt, but that's a lot of gear. And apparently they've got this, so now they're going to be able to stream our concert. The people who have them, anybody with hearing loss who wears one of theirs, will go to this venue, and we will be somewhere else in another part of the country performing a show that will be streamed into their, it'll be like they're wearing headphones.
Huh, that is so kick-ass.
It is. And, you know, there's so many people with hearing loss that were, you know, rock fans when they were younger, or you know, some people aren't that old that have hearing loss. And to be kind of marginalized so they can't go to a rock show, this might be a way to make it, you know, inclusive again.
That's really cool. I'll have to get my father-in-law on that, because he turns his hearing aids up so high that when he goes to take his hat off or something, it feeds back.
I know. They gotta work on that.
Well, listen, Tommy, it's been a real pleasure to talk to you. The Mission is out right now, and I highly recommend it. I think it's great. Like you said, 42 minutes. It takes you on a story. This album, by the way, has a real visual feel. It's one of those records where you can, like, you know, see videos in your head while you're listening to it.
The first time that I listened to it with my wife, she'd been there for the creation of it and just heard it in bits and pieces and fragments. And when we got the mix back, when it was mastered and I brought it home, I said, you want to come down and listen to it? So she came downstairs in my studio, and we turned the lights down, put it on, and I had two computer screens between the speakers. And I put it on, and within a couple of minutes, it went to a screensaver, mm-hmm. which looked kind of like this thing, you know, flying through space. And just that alone, just that little visual, it just set our imaginations, you know, soaring. And it was like, that's the video.
Well, it's a great record, and like I said, if a 14-year-old kid is down with it, I guess it's pretty solid. So, I appreciate your time.
Oh, man. Well, thanks for having me.
Good luck on the rest of the tour, and we'll bump into you somewhere down the road. And like I said, I got to get a copy of the record on vinyl. So.
Yeah, you do. And for one thing, it's the visuals on the album cover and the album art. There's a lot of fun stuff. When you get the album, open it up and you get to know it a little bit, and there's things that we call Easter eggs that you'll discover on the album. And it'll be fun. You'll like it.
Tommy Shaw today on Radio Chatter, and I'm being totally sincere. Love the record, The Mission. It's really good stuff. And, you know, I guess it's obvious after Tommy mentioned it, but going back and listening to this record, it's very stripped down. There's not a lot going on, but boy, does it sound good. It sounds really good. You can hear the acoustic guitar. You can hear the drum and the bass, and the vocals are so crisp and clear, and everything that Styx is really known for. So if you get a chance, check that out for sure. And if you're listening to this and they're coming to your neck of the woods, by all means, go out and check them out as they're on tour with REO and Don Felder. Hey, thanks so much for checking out the Radio Chatter podcast. Of course, an invite always to join me on social media at Meltdown WRIF, whether it be Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, whatever. And thanks so much for listening. A star, maybe write a review, share it with your friends. But more importantly, thank you so much for checking out Radio Chatter.